Hello and welcome to Banter, the Radio 4 panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from John Constable to John Sargent are Lynn Ferguson.
Hello.
Dave Gorman.
Shabba.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
And Will Smith.
Hello.
OK, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories, one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for getting any of my personal favourites, which, of course, they don't know, at which you'll hear this. And remember, my word is law, so it's a good job we're not playing Scrabble. So, like Long John Silver, let's put our best foot forward with our first top three. Our first category is your top three monarchs. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for that particular category sits out the chat. In this case, that's Lynn Ferguson. So if you'd sit this one out, please, Lynn. And Will Smith, would you like to start us off, please, with monarchs?
Aragorn. He's everything you want in a king. He's true and just and fair and very strong. He can look great, as a kind of weather-stained ranger, but he also scrubs up really well as a nice hunk of beef in shiny boots. I particularly like the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. This may be apocryphal, but apparently he once hosted a party and he got a bunch of midgets to hide in an oxen. Yeah, I know. Most of us have a party. You think, nuts, Pringles, Robert Palmer CD, party. But he wanted to create some kind of flesh-based Kinder Egg.
Dave Gorman?
If you sort of think about the British monarchs, my favourite's got to be King Edward VII, because he had a potato named after him. And after that, it would be King Edward VIII, who was named after a potato. So they're winning for me. If you leave the British Isles, then I think Prince Rainier III of Monaco, who he kind of lived a life. He married Grace Kelly. He lives on a little sort of playboy's paradise. His name is an issue, because it's Prince Rainier III, which is wrong. It should have been Prince Rainey, Prince Rainier, and Prince Rainiest. In fact, during his reign, he increased Monaco by 20%. And the old-fashioned way would have been to go and fight wars and things, and he just went and reclaimed some land by the sea. But 20% is quite a significant chunk of land. That makes him a good monarch, I reckon, surely.
That's a big beach.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Can I say that Aragorn actually reclaimed Mordor?
You can, but can I take issue with the word actually?
Richard Herring?
I like King Ralph. I think what this country really needs is a fat American to take over. That's. I think King Henry VIII was great. He was a man who really liked wedding cake and all kinds of cake and pies and beer and killing his wives the minute they even got slightly irritating. Yeah, you have to admire him for that.
Has anyone heard of Frederick William of Prussia?
No. Nope.
He wanted to have an army of very tall men, so he used to send people out to go and kidnap tall children. And, no, it's true. And if he got depressed, he'd get 100 of them to just march through his bedroom while he lay there.
And, have you been watching Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Very drunk, yeah.
The popes are technically monarchs as well, because they are monarchs of the state of Vatican City. But I like them in principle because it is the only monarch that you can aspire to be. None of us are ever going to be king. That gets handed down in your family. Whereas popes, you can be elected with a bit of dedication.
I don't think we're going to become popes, are we?
But it's still possible.
I don't know if I would.
No.
Who knows? They can change that, though, can't they? I mean, that is, I think, at some point, there will be a female pope.
A Protestant female pope,
though. No.
It is that thing, what happens when the pope dies? Another one popes up?
King John had the best death, I think, out of all the kings. He was attacked by all those biplanes and fell off the Empire State Building. It was.
Yes, my favourite king is indeed King Kong. So you get 5 points.
Oh, fantastic.
In a roundabout way, getting to King Kong.
Can I say that the question wasn't what's your favourite king, it was what's your favourite monarch? And so you having your favourite monarch be King Kong makes no sense whatsoever.
He was the King of Kongs.
Marie Antoinette, I think she was a good monarch. And she got a bad press, but she said she got beheaded because she said, let them eat cake. Which to me, that's quite, cakes are nice. That's a nice, if she'd said, let them eat soil, yeah, fair, let them eat acid, then yeah, fair enough. Cakes are nice, who wouldn't like a cake? Only the diabetic, they could have a special one for them.
I mean, a point for that, for just thinking about the diabetics. Thank that's you. Good, it's very nice.
I like Charles II, because he sold Dunkirk to the French for £40,000. Dunkirk's already a part of France. Brilliant.
Can I get a point because I'm actually related to Charles II?
Yes, if you are.
Thank you.
But are you?
Yes.
Then yes, you have a point. Tell us more.
Well, one of my great-great-great-great-grandfathers married one of Charles II's illegitimate daughters and in return was made Earl of Sussex.
Wow.
Thank you, yes. Wow. But we pissed it away.
Well, I think I'll call time on this topic, so I'm going to have to ask you for your final top threes, your top three monarchs. We'll start with Will Smith. What do you have?
Aragorn, Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, and actually Queen Amidala from Phantom Menace. Just because I want to register what an idiot George Lucas is, because they refer to her as the newly elected Queen of Naboo. You can't elect them. Anyway.
Good point. Extra point for that, I think. Dave, what have you got?
I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to stick with the two Edwards for their potato connection, and Prince Rainier III of Monaco.
Okay. And Richard, your top three monarchs?
I'll go for King John, King Kong, and King Dong.
Well, we've all scored some points in the round, but you can all score some more bonus points if any of the answers given are in Lynn Ferguson's envelope. So, Lynn, please let us know, what are your top three monarchs?
I shall open my very noisy envelope. First was Frederick William I of Prussia, which you nearly had, but then you gave it away. Princess Anne, who I know is not a monarch, and before I was thinking that was quite bad, but frankly, having listened to the past 10 minutes. And the third one, sort of personal, which is Mary Queen of Scots, right? One of her lady-in-waiting, right, ladies-in-waiting, her family had a house that was in the town that I grew up in, right, which is Cumbernauld, right? And that's the only piece of culture that Cumbernauld ever has.
Well, no matches there, so we'll add the points together. And at the end of round one, still waiting for a dance, in last place is Dave Gorman. And joint second, we have Will and Lynn, and that means in first place, it's Richard Herring. Okay, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. So, Lynn, you're up first, and your either or is this. Too cold or too hot?
Too hot every time, because if you're too hot, the things that you do to stop yourself being too hot are quite nice, aren't they? Wee chilled glass of white wine, maybe, ice lolly, bit of ice cream, do you know? Big man, big fan, magic. If too cold, things that you use to be not too cold aren't very nice, like big jumper, vest, socks. Do you know what I mean? It's easy, isn't it?
I'm going to give you 4 points for that. That's a perfect answer, I would say. And you said big man, big fan, which is not something we normally hear. Okay, then, Will Smith, top of the milk or top of the pops?
Well, what's the lineup on top of the pops? We're talking... Are we talking Dire Straits? Are we talking Marillion? Or what? Or...
If you wish, then yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, if it's a Top of the Pop special featuring Dire Straits and Marillion, I'm there.
Okay, 2 points for embarrassing yourself. We'll add those onto our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top three. Okay, Will Smith, you're setting this one out, so please sit back as we hammer out the top three websites. Can you start us off, please? Lynn Ferguson.
Favourite and most useful is beerintheevening.co. What it is, you're going out, you're going to meet somebody, you're like, I don't know any pubs in the area. Shows you all the pubs in the area, rates them, will arrange a pub crawl for you. Tells you what kind of food's on offer, tells you real ale, not real ale, fantastic. And, and just because, you know, sometimes when you feel really ugly... Obviously, I don't ever, but am I hot or not? Don't come on. What they do is people post their photos, right, on the web, and you score their attractiveness from 1 to 10. But you get some people where you just go, no, don't do that. You know you're just rubbing salt in the wounds, and I always vote 10 for them. I do. Always vote 10 for them. But see if there's some, particularly if it's a guy, say maybe mid-30s, open neck shirt, wee bit of chest hair there, I just think cocky, 2.
So just as an experiment, Lynn, what would you give all of the men along here out of 10 if they happen to come up on that site? Will Smith, what would you give him?
2.5.
That's no surprise to anyone, is it, actually?
Not to me.
What would you give Richard if he came up?
5, probably. I'd give you 5 because I'd see you coming up and I'd think, Richard Herring, there he is. So you'd get 5 just for turning up.
Fair enough. And what about hairy-faced Dave?
See, I like a beard. I do. I like a beard, so I'm saying 8.
Excellent.
What about Andrew Collings?
I don't count. I'm just sitting here.
How many points have I got so far?
I'm going to give you 4 points for that, for being so honest.
I would rate you a 9.
Not that this is particularly useful, but it just made me chuckle. A couple of weeks ago, I was with a friend, and we were thinking about registering a domain. And so we looked up, knowing it wouldn't be there, we looked up www.www.com, which clearly already exists. And so we then added in another W, and that exists, and we added in another W, and so on. And eventually we got all the way through 63 Ws. There is a website which is www.www.www.com, and apparently you can't get a longer domain name anyway, so that, the only reason there isn't a 64 is because you're not allowed to have one. And when you get there, it's just a blue page, and it says, hello and welcome to The internet is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I do like, it's quite a recent thing, the $1 million homepage. It's this young lad who likes Chew, and he's going to go to university. And when his brother went to university, he ended up with 30 grand's worth of debt. And he thought, I want to try and avoid this. So he's sitting up late at night thinking, what can I do? And he came up with this idea, the $1 million homepage. He's got a page with 1 million pixels on it, and he's put them all for sale for $1 each. And he's now sold the entire page. He's now made $1 million, and the idiot is still going to go to university. And he's going to study marketing and business, which surely he's already passed.
I like Amazon.com because I've written a book, so I can go on and look at my book and see where it rates. They have a little rating to tell you how you're selling, and then I can compare it against my friends who've written books like Dave Gorman and Stuart Lee, see how I'm doing.
How are you doing?
Not very well. Compared to that, I've chosen the wrong friends who all are successful authors.
I like it for the same reason.
I like Wikipedia. I enjoy that, both for its mixture of truth and lies. It's an encyclopedia written by the public. What could be better than that? That's what the internet should be about.
Have you seen infinitecat.com? Somebody was posting a picture to some website or other of their cat, and then somebody else had a cat, and they were sat on the desk looking at the monitor of this with this picture of a cat on it, and they took a picture of that. And then somebody else thought, I know, I'll get my cat. And they took a picture of that cat looking at that cat looking at that cat. And they've now got about 2,000 odd pictures, all of a cat looking at the previous picture of a cat looking at the previous picture looking at a previous picture. It's kind of the cat version of www.www.com, but I like it.
Who was the last to buy anything on eBay?
Probably me.
And what would it have been?
Well, the last thing would have been something perfectly rational, but it's when you combine alcohol and eBay, which is very dangerous. And I have once bought a hot air balloon on eBay, and it's a regrettable.
A big one.
They only come in one size, and I'm aware.
I thought I was embarrassed by my Moonraker sleeping bag. What do you do with it?
I've suspended the basket from the entrance to my attic, and I stand in it sometimes.
Do you have tiny little toy soldiers on the ground and sort of look up? Oh, I'm so high!
Well, that's your lot. Please give me your final top threes then, starting with Dave Gorman. Your top three websites, please.
Wikipedia. I'll go with the $1 million homepage and Google.
Okay. Richard Herring?
I would like richardherring.com, Wikipedia as well. And Friendster, which is like Friends Reunited without the unpleasantness. You can just make friends with anyone. You don't have to have been to school with them.
And Lynn Ferguson, your top three, please.
Google, am I hot or no, and beerintheevening.com.
OK, then. Let's see if any of you are going to get any additional points here. Will Smith, please tell us, what are your top three websites?
These are my personal favourites here. Joint first is Marillion.com and also thecompany.com, the website of the ex-lead singer of Marillion Fish. MarkKnopflerNews.co.uk and BergeracRules.co.uk, which is mine.
Okay, so no matches there. At the end of that round, we find in fourth place Will Smith, third place Dave Gorman, in second place Lynn Ferguson, and out in front it's Richard Herring.
Believe it.
Okay, time for another quickfire round, and this time it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite shade of highlighter pen, please. As the audience arrived today, we asked them which their favourite shade of highlighter pen was. Our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. Will Smith, what have you got written down?
Luminous yellow, for highlighting the Radio Times when Bergerac's on.
Okay, Lynn Ferguson?
Pink.
Yay! A lot of pink in the audience there. Dave Gorman?
Yellow, and anyone who said blue is just trying to be different.
Okay, Richard Herring?
I don't have a favourite, I have a life.
There's no points for you then, I can tell you that for a fact. I will give you the answers now. One person put tartan, which is nice. But in joint third place from the audience votes, we have light blue and green with 17%. Second, with 25%, is yellow, which means, with 31%, the most popular colour of highlighter pen was pink. That means we have one match. Lynn Ferguson gets 5 points there, and let's push straight on with our next top three. And it's your top three soap villains. Richard Herring, you're sitting out this one. So what do you think, Dave Gorman? Soap opera villains, obviously.
It's Joan the Freak Ferguson from Prisoner Cell Watch. For a start, she's a female villain, which it always raises the bar a little bit. You've got Australia, which is a country full of criminals. You've got a prison within Australia, so it's the most criminal element of the people descended from the criminal element. And then the baddest thing in there is a warder. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Lynn, the Freak Ferguson? You're obviously not called the Freak. I'm just making a reference back to the fact that his villain was called Ferguson. Who's your favourite soap villain?
Quite liked Alan Bradley. Remember him?
Coronation Street.
Alan Bradley. He tried to attack his secretary, tried to set off a couple of fires and all that, and then the best bit was he was killed by a Blackpool tram.
True.
That is the one death that you'll never see in an American soap opera. He was run over by a tram.
Dirty Den Ferguson in EastEnders.
I like Dirty Den. I especially like him, but there was a line many years ago when Ethel and Lou were in it. I think it was Ethel speaking to Dot, and Dot said about the Queen Vic, said, "Oh, it's a den of iniquity," and Ethel went, "He is, isn't he?"
He wasn't even the baddest villain in EastEnders. Nick Cotton easily is a much better villain.
Who are these people? I feel completely out of the loop here. I just don't really watch soap operas.
Do you know, I would take that. I would have thought, right, that was maybe because you were intellectual, maybe you were slightly above that, but then you have mentioned Marillion, Dire Straits,
poetry.
And Bergerac endlessly.
The pinnacle of Western art. JR. I love JR, but mainly because I recently saw Larry Hagman on the Biography Channel, and he was asked, how would you like to go? Because he's had brushes with death because he had liver failure. Yeah. And he said, have you seen that film Fargo? I'd like to be fed into a wood chipper, then scattered over a field where maybe you grow some wheat or barley, then a year later you bake a cake and all eat a piece of Larry.
There is something enjoyable about Larry Hagman, and it's something English actors who go into soaps don't do this. So Dirty Den went away, and you could tell when he came back, he was through gritted teeth. He didn't want to have to be back in EastEnders. He resented every last second of his time there. With Larry Hagman, and most of the American actors, he's quite happy to be J.R. Ewing for the rest of his life. He'll turn up in a 10-gallon hat for a tenner.
Marcus Tandy?
Marcus Tandy,
nice. El Dorado.
Nice. Very good.
Because he could at least face the cameras and talk, which was beyond most of the cast for some reason.
He had a fantastic sort of blue sports car. In the very last episode, they blew it up.
No, they didn't.
But quite famously, just before his car blows up, the picture changes to a very cheap car.
Yeah.
Because even in its death knell, they couldn't afford to spend any money.
To blow a
car. Hilarious.
Quite like Kim T, did like her. Quite liked her. I haven't really been bothered with the dingle.
Have you ever seen Lord of the Rings?
Yes, actually.
Oh, okay.
And your point is?
Well, you just seem to be spending a lot of time watching soap operas, and it could be put to better use.
God! Well, you know, what I sort of think is I do part-time work in popular culture, and in the doing thereof should have a look at what people do watch on the television, and soap's a part of it. And also, like, I remember when they put the first homosexual man in EastEnders, there was a whole theory about that did actually help homosexual gentlemen, because for some people that was the first identification they'd had of it. And so I know it's really easy in your big Jersey floppy-haired way to say, soap's there just for for thick people, but actually, you know, even thick people deserve entertainment. And I may be thick. I may be thick, but at least I'm not evil.
You can have 4 points for that, Lynn
Thank
Ferguson.
You.
A rousing speech.
Also, isn't the Archers a soap? And I don't hear MD slagging that off.
Have they got villains on it? I don't know.
The weather. Crop failure, blind, foot and mouth.
I always liked Grimace Stevenson in Grange Hill.
Yes.
Which I think should be a soap, because everyone who went to Grange Hill then went to EastEnders.
Or London's Burning.
Yes.
Or like Zamo opened up his own key-cutting business.
Well, I'm afraid there's no more time to talk this one out, so please give me your final top three, starting with Dave Gorman.
J.R. Ewing, Dirty Den, and Joan the Angel Ferguson.
Okay, Will Smith.
J.R. Ewing, Marcus Tandy, and Alexis Carrington.
I'm surprised you didn't have J.R. Tolkien, actually. Okay, Lynn Ferguson, your top three, please.
Oh, there's so many. Nick Cotton, Kim Tate, and Marcus Tandy.
Okay, let's see if there are any more points up for grabs. Richard Herring, please tell us, what are your top three soap villains?
My top three soap villains are Ian Beale.
Ah.
Number two, Mrs. Mangle from Neighbours. And my third one is Dirty Den.
OK, Richard, you scored 1 point there for matching up Dirty Den with Dave Gorman, who also gets a point. And that means with one more act before the final curtain, at the end of that round, we're left with, in last place, Will Smith. In third place, Dave Gorman. In second place, Richard Herring. But storming into the lead, it's Lynn Ferguson. OK, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win? A series of hypothetical bouts of anything from paintball to pinball. So, Richard Herring, who would win the 3:15 from Haydock Park? Black Beauty or Champion the Wonder Horse?
Well, there's a clue, I think. There's two clues. Black Beauty, all it has really going for it is that, you know, it's black and attractive. It only helps if you can use that somehow to distract the other horses. But Champion, the Wonder Horse, I think might just edge it by a nose.
You can have 3 points for logic, I think. And finally, Dave Gorman. Who would win at Mousetrap? Rent-A-Kill or Agatha Christie?
Well, this is a trick question because no one ever wins at Mousetrap. I have never met an individual on this earth who ever got the marble as far as the bathtub. After 20 minutes of trying to make it happen, you go and play Sabutio. It doesn't happen. However, I will say that, well, if Agatha Christie played Mousetrap, obviously it would never end. And so it has to be Rent-A-Kill, who actually do successfully kill and trap mice.
Absolutely, including plastic ones.
Yes, I guess. I'm sure that's more than within their capabilities.
I'll give you 4 points for that, Dave, and we'll add those points to the scores and go straight into our final top three. Dave Gorman, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three fictional robots. That's fictional robots, not real ones. Richard Herring, please do start us off.
Well, I think the best and scariest robot of all has to be Metal Mickey, which was directed by Mickey DeLenz from The Monkees, for trivia fans there. Tweaky from Buck Rogers.
Very small robot.
He was. He was a little tiny man there, and he used to carry the other bloke that was like a clock face.
Dr. Theophilus.
Yes. I somehow thought you'd know.
He was the kind of Flavor Flav of the 25th century. Wasn't he?
I really like Bender from Futurama. And the Daleks are, you know, semi-robotic. And if we're allowed them, I have to have 7 of 9 from Voyager. She's the best. She's part Borg, which is kind of, she's got implants in her that are robotic. This audience makes me sick, to me.
Lynn Ferguson, any robots that tickle your fancy?
He's just picked mine. The reason I chose all of mine, which were Metal Mickey, Tweaky and Daleks, was because they all had the best noises.
Would you like to do them? Yes.
Yeah, but no, I bet you could, though.
I'd do Tweaky. Biddy, biddy, biddy.
What was Metal Mickey?
He said boogie, boogie, boogie.
Boogie, boogie, boogie. And
which one of those two was in Musical Youth?
That was Tweaky.
Okay, yeah.
And Daleks, of course.
They have a catchphrase.
Yeah, exterminate. I'm not a big Doctor Who fan, yeah. I like girls.
You must have liked the robots in Star Wars, though, Will Smith.
Yeah, Welcome to my world. Few quibbles. I did like R2-D2 in the original Star Wars films, but then I don't like it now because in the prequels he seems to be able to fly, and there's no reference to why he can't fly later in time in the later sequels, and it could have all been, you know, taken care of. If there'd just been a line where it was like, you know, wipe this droid's memory and remove that other's flight capability, or if R2 had beeped and 3PO had said, oh, you've got vertigo, well, you better stop flying. But no. We also have, of course, the Terminator. Of course, the T-800 and 850 models, the Rebellion... Why are you laughing? They're just laughing out of ignorance. The humans have dogs to detect the Terminators, although, of course, I would have gone with the, you know, anyone who looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger as a rule of thumb. But it is brilliant. Bicentennial Man. Robin Williams plays a robot who wants to become human. It does drain the life force from you as you watch it. It's very rare you could watch a film about robots where you think that it would actually be improved if somebody said, what are tears? And this thing you call love. But it would make it slightly better.
You're not going to get my favourite robot, I don't think. He is a replicant in the film Blade Runner, which makes him
Batty.
A robot. Yeah, Roy Batty, played by Rutger Hauer. But Roy Batty does sound like a character in Coronation Street. And I think that's how he should have played him. So nobody gets the bonus 5 points for guessing my favourite. So for the last time, though, let me have your top three, starting with Will Smith. Top three robots, please.
The Terminator Model T-800, the Terminator Model T-1000, and Ash from Alien.
Lynn Ferguson, what have you got?
Tweaky, Metal Mickey, and the Daleks.
And Richard Herring, your top three, please.
I'll go for the Cybermen, Tweaky, and Bender.
OK, well, as I said recently to a tailor measuring me up for a new pair of trousers, it could go either way. So, Dave Gorman, please open up your envelope and let us know what are your top three fictional robots.
Twicky from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
Wow.
Marvin the Paranoid Android. And those ones off the For Mash Get Smash ads.
Popular choice, I think. So then, Dave Gorman gets 2 points there for matching up Tweaky with Richard Herring and with Lynn Ferguson. And I'm afraid that means at the end of today's show, our top three losers are Lynn Ferguson, Dave Gorman and Will Smith.
What?
And our winner is Richard Herring.
Yes!
So that's all from us for today's show. A big thank you to all my guests. And remember, if you're worried that because life is like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get, just go with Ferrero Rocher. Goodbye.
Banter was presented by Andrew Collins and featured Lynn Ferguson, Dave Gorman, Richard Herring and me, Will Smith. The show was devised by Tim Barber and the producer was Richard Grocock. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.
And there'll be more top three hijinks at the same time next week. Now, here's Kirsty Lang with news of Front Row tonight.
We'll be reviewing Michael Winterbottom's controversial feature film, The Road to Guantanamo, with the BBC's security correspondent Frank Gardner. It's about the so-called Tipton Three, young Asian men from the Midlands who seemingly stumbled unawares into the Afghan War and then found themselves locked up in America's most notorious prison camp. But just how accurate is it? We also have an interview with Australian children's author Maurice Gleitzman about his latest novel set during the Holocaust. And what happens when you transplant Chekhov's three sisters from provincial Russia to the West Indies during World War II? All that...